Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
We pick up the action in the second half of Darren Donick and Chase. Darren on vacation today. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, before we get to Vince Ferrara here, that tomorrow night not only is Nashville SC in action, but tomorrow night is draft night in Smashville with Chase McCabe and Justin Bradford. Predators have the 11th pick in the first round. They'll have live coverage for you from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on 102.5 The Game. And draft night in Smashville is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So, Chase, are you poised? Are you ready for the action?
I am ready, and as Crispy would say, I'm going to bring the passion. Hal Gill's going to be in the building, so my head will be on a swivel because you always have to have your head on a swivel with Hal Gill. But looking forward to it. Justin, I know, has talked to a lot of different people about potential prospects, and with the Preds scheduled to pick 11th overall, I think it'll be a fun night, and hopefully we'll be able to talk to David Poile as well.
Justin is a great source. I hope a lot of people get a chance to listen. He really does his homework on this. I did the draft in Chicago, some coverage with him and our man Gover, who is that? Is he officially in retirement now?
He is retired.
He's officially in retirement. We got to get used to this, man. Could he ever come out of retirement? I don't know. We'll have to see, but Justin, this was the draft where the Predators got booed by the Blackhawks fans throughout the whole weekend, but they drafted Ellie Tolvanen with the second to last pick of the first round, and we got a chance to talk to Ellie. So Justin's been through this before. He loves going to drafts. Of course, he can't go to this one, but he'll have good coverage with you tomorrow night. Now, let's get to Vince Ferrara. He's brought to you every week by Turner Security, powered by TechCore for all your security and networking needs. The Vols are 2-0. They look very good in just blowing up the Missouri Tigers in Knoxville on Saturday. Vince, thanks for joining us. A pretty impressive win.
It was. They took care of business like the fans expected them to. I don't think the fans ever felt like Missouri was a challenge for Tennessee. You just wondered, you know, going until the, you know, midweek, whether you would have some players that had been missing the week before, including Cade Mays. Then Cade Mays was cleared by the SEC in the midweek, and then you start to hear about some players that were back at practice, and one of them that was not was Sean Schamberger, their starting nickel, who they still didn't have. But they did get a couple of guys back, Darrell Middleton and a couple other guys that had missed some time in practice, so were very limited in the first week. So they were limited a little bit with Bryce Thompson, who Jeremy Pruitt revealed to us after the game that he was banged up on Tuesday at practice. So they just played him in a few situations. And so he hasn't played in his natural position yet of outside corner, where he's very good, and Tennessee hoped he would take that next step. First game he played at safety because they didn't have Schamberger and he knew the most about their defense with their concepts. They felt like he was the best option. Then this game he was very limited. So Tennessee really hadn't been full go in a lot of ways yet, but still came through with a convincing game. That Missouri was down 16 and driving after Tennessee's offense kind of slowed down there for a bit, but then a Theo Jackson interception change things, and then Tennessee went on to score and open things back up to that 35-12 margin. Had Missouri gone down and scored there, and they had the momentum, you know, down 16, you get a touchdown, 2-point conversion, now you're within 8, and maybe, you know, things change a little bit there. But Tennessee did what they had to do and really controlled the line of scrimmage throughout. So yeah, it was an impressive performance for Tennessee.
Let's pick up on your control of the line of scrimmage. I know the offensive line has been an issue for a number of years, but for the first time, you really feel like it's coming together here. Tell me how good you think this offensive line is, or do we need to wait to see what happens this Saturday?
Completely, yes. You do need to wait. I mean, this will be much more of a challenge because of what we saw Georgia do to Auburn and dominate them with the line of scrimmage. Granted, Auburn didn't have the best offensive line, but it's still a very good team with some weapons. But you know, the fact that Tennessee could run the ball, was committed to running the football in the game, was very encouraging. We ran for 232. We've seen Tennessee win games where they couldn't even get to 100 yards during this win streak. So the fact that they were committed to run, and Jeremy Pruitt kind of pointed to that as to why the run game was better. And he thought still they left some yards on the field. He talked about one play they ran 10 times. He said they blocked it right 4 times. So, I mean, this isn't a perfect O-line. They did some specialty things where they went with 7 offensive linemen in sort of a jumbo package. Jeremy Pruitt, by the way, was asked today, what's the name of it? He's like, I have no idea. Jim Chaney's been doing it for a while, and so it was Jim Chaney's idea, so Pruitt ran with it, which I think is another really good indicator for Pruitt, his evolution as a coach. And you know, we knew that he's kind of given Jim Chaney the reign of the offense, and he has his input, no doubt. But he didn't have to worry about every little detail and every little play and micromanaging like he used to, you know, have to do with Tyson Helton in his first year. He can run the team. He doesn't have to micromanage Derek Ansley either. He's been still, even though he's very involved in defense. But so they use extra offensive linemen. A lot of times they have both Cade Mays and Cooper Mays as the extra offensive linemen lined up together on the left side. So you'd have Trey Smith and Wanye Morris and Cade Mays, 5-star, 5-star, 5-star,
yeah,
and then a 4-star freshman and Cooper Mays lined up next to him. So,
it seems like an obvious question, Vince, but how much do you get a sense that Cade Mays upgrades? Because, as you said, these are all highly recruited guys, but having a veteran like that, how much does he single-handedly upgrade the entire unit?
A ton. And maybe a lot of people underestimated what one guy could do, but he is very popular. He's really good. I think he elevates not only the talent on that group, but elevates their physicality. And that's something that you could tell. They were crisper and more physical in their blocks. They were committed to double teams and creating holes. I mean, there were some big holes there for Chandler and Gray to run. They're doing a good job of keeping both of those guys fresh. And I think Cade Mays has taken this group to a new level. Now, what's interesting is, we all assumed that he would go to right guard because that was the biggest question mark. That's where you didn't have a 5-star. But because Jerome Carvin had such a good camp and has played so well at right guard, he started there and played some Mays, and Mays has the versatility to play anywhere. Cade Mays started at right tackle for another one of the 5-star tackles in Darnell Wright. Now, they mixed Darnell Wright in. He played some, but it basically came down to Carvin outperforming Wright, so they put Mays at right tackle instead of right guard, and they moved Mays around to the extra, to the left side. I mean, they could do so many things with him and just play puzzle piece, and they did a ton of that in that game. They didn't really have much of a drop off when they did it. So Cade Mays elevates them in back to where we thought they might be, one of the best lines in the SEC, therefore one of the best in the country.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, the sports animal in Knoxville, joins us every Monday at noon. So, Vince, it's an 8-game win streak dating back to last season for Tennessee, which ties Notre Dame for the longest streak in FBS. And usually anything that's not this season, I go, okay, that doesn't matter. It's a completely different year. But the fact that we've seen 2 weeks of SEC football, we've seen some sloppy play, we've seen some teams that we thought, okay, they're going to be good, and then they get boat raced, see Auburn. In Mississippi State, they beat LSU. They turn around, they lose to Arkansas. So there's a lot of question marks of what teams are for real and what teams are just trying to get things going. So when you factor all that together, Where do you put Tennessee right now as it stacks up against the rest of the SEC?
Well, I think it's still in the same spot behind Georgia and Florida, but like I kind of thought, they're closing that gap a little bit. Now, again, part of that is where they were coming from. They have the room to improve, whereas when you're Georgia and Florida, especially Georgia, you're at the top. It's hard to continue to elevate from that perch. So that's part of the deal. But Tennessee is not that far behind those two teams. Those two teams, I think, are still at the top of the division. However, it's not like they've both looked flawless. I mean, there's a ton of questions about first half against Arkansas for Georgia. And we've seen that maybe Arkansas is more improved than we gave them credit for at the time. And they were much better against Auburn. And then, Florida has looked phenomenal on offense, but man, they still have difficulty, big time difficulty stopping the run and haven't really shown the consistent ability to run the ball. That being said, Tennessee hasn't been flawless either. They have things they can clean up and get better at also. My point is that there is no perfect product in that East. So I think Tennessee is right there behind those teams. And then if Tennessee is able to win this game against Georgia, it takes you into a whole new area new area code in terms of where Tennessee falls in the SEC landscape. There won't be that separation anymore in the way they're considered moving forward. And not only is it 8-game win streak, Chase, as you mentioned, it's 6 straight in the SEC. I don't care who you play. I don't care who you play. 6 straight, taking care of business, home, road, whoever. Tennessee would lose a lot of those games in the past.
It sounds so much.
A lot of other teams do too.
It sounds so much, Vince, like the James Franklin Vanderbilt teams, where you'd hear people, "Well, the East is down."
Right.
And I'm like, when is the last time Vanderbilt came close to winning 9 games in a year? I don't care if they're down or not. The previous Vanderbilt teams couldn't beat the teams that were down. So I agree with you 100% that do not shortchange anybody for winning that many straight league games, regardless of the competition.
Well, if Tennessee gets blown out by Georgia, then everybody's going to say, "I told you so." Well,
I would not change my view on that, even if that happens. Yeah.
Well, I'm with you because it is impressive. And like I mentioned, it's still so much progress from what we saw under Butch Jones, where they would lose games they weren't supposed to and they'd leave. And those would be games like that South Carolina game the year Jalen Hurd left. They leave massive opportunities to do special things. They left those on the table by losing games like that. So, yes, it's progress, and this team is thought of differently, I think, in terms of the respect from the rest of the league because of the way they're coached, the way players are developed. I still don't think they're this team littered with difference makers. They have more of them now. They're developing more of them with Henry Toto and Trey Smith and Cade Mays on the offensive line. And But it's not like they have stars everywhere that some of the other teams depend on. The coaching has a lot to do with this, and therefore I think they have the respect of the rest of the league much more than they did even if they racked up wins back in the Butch Jones era.
So what all did Jeremy Pruitt say today about his next opponent in Georgia?
Well, I asked him specifically about why Georgia's defense is so good and gets after the quarterback so well. And he kind of pointed to something that is a core of his, and that's defending on the back end. They man you up on the outside, and they don't have to overcommit to coverage. They also have the ability this year to not overcommit in terms of numbers of players they have to blitz, because their front four is so much better that now they can do a lot of different things. So the multiplicity really helps them this year. So that defense is really good. You saw a dominant performance against Auburn. And the first thing he said was, well, they have really good players. that helps you coach when you have the good players to be able to develop and mold and put in the right position. So it started there, but then, you know, you talked about how many different things they can do and their scheme. So it'll be a challenge, be a fun matchup. You talk about an elite defense, a really good, top-notch offensive line. I mean, there's going to be a lot at stake in those situations. And Tennessee, it still has things it can clean up offensively. And Garantano has to protect the football and not be fazed by, you know, the pressures that he will get from all different areas. And then you have to make tight window throws against Georgia that maybe are open throws. You don't have to be perfect on against Missouri or South Carolina. So it'll be a challenge. But that was the biggest thing, I think, is he a number of times would point to they have really good players. They're really well coached. And, you know, he was asked about the familiarity of the two coaching staffs and Cade Mays as well with Georgia. And, you know, he just kind of made it seem like it was a wash, which was the case against South Carolina also. So, yeah, a lot of respect. No surprise for Pruitt.
I feel like the way that their schedule falls, I mean, moving the Florida game to the last game of the season, they had a couple of, you know, I'm not going to say easy gimme games by any means. South Carolina certainly gave them a fight, but South Carolina, Missouri, and now you get the first big major test against Georgia, and then Kentucky next week, and then Alabama. I feel like that their schedule, while difficult, the way it all lays out should help them as they continue their growth of trying to get into just a normal routine of the season.
It has played out that way. I do think it's a positive, and I thought it was going into the year. And, you know, Kentucky with their tough start, I did pick Ole Miss straight up, by the way, last week. Pretty happy about that. But, Kentucky just is not quite as good at the line of scrimmage. And, well, like we thought, you know, especially defensively, they give up a ton of yards. They certainly can run the ball, and they will be a live dog, certainly. But when you can spread out those big games a little bit. And here's another thing, Chase. Who does Georgia have next week? Alabama.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get any opportunity for an overlook, here's your chance when you're ahead of Alabama. Now, I think that it's canceled out a little bit because Georgia, I think, is well aware of what Tennessee brings to the table. This isn't the softer version of Tennessee. I think Georgia is well aware that Tennessee can get them, and Kirby Smart's going to be pounding that all week. But I think if it is natural for some kids to do that, here's your chance maybe for Tennessee to take advantage of it. It doesn't guarantee anything. It's going to be difficult, but at least it is favorable in what Georgia has next, and then you get to spread out those tough games, get some of the kinks worked out in the first couple of weeks against teams that are lesser opponents. They took care of business, and now I think they're in a better position to do so versus tough team, elite team right out of the gate. That wouldn't have been the best result for the Vols.
Vince, as always, great insights, and we will talk to you again down the road. Also, congratulations on the Ole Miss pick. Chase, his ears perked up, I'm sure, when you said that, because in our underdog competition, Kelly Holcomb had Ole Miss, and he picked
– Okay.
He picked up a nice 6-point bonus there. So, Chase, you've fallen behind. You've fallen behind.
That was the wrong pick.
How about that? Well, if you want to go the other direction from all of my picks, you can go to 99.1thesportsanimal.com in the future and just see what I pick, and typically go the opposite way. make some money.
It's a time-tested practice by listeners, no matter who's picking. Sometimes I go opposite.
I do wonder if somebody on the panel will look at this matchup, because last I checked, I think Georgia's a 14-point favorite, which I was thinking it was a little too much.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, from a point standpoint, it does seem like that's a lot. I think a lot of Vols fans are going to go that direction for sure.
All right, Vince, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Appreciate you.
All right, that is Vince Ferrara, and he joins us, of course, every week on the show, and it is brought to you by Turner Security, powered by TechCore for all your security and networking needs. I want to come back to this point when we come back, Chase, leading into the Georgia game, because this is a great litmus test, but I want to discuss how much is it worth that Tennessee has this 8-game winning streak, and that they have won 6 in a row in the league. We're going to talk about that because I'm going to challenge the but the league is down. They haven't beaten anybody good. I want to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.